was reported in the New York Times. One new television show in Japan boasts young women in bikinis who attempt to smash aluminum cans in between their breasts. Another television show in Japan brings a young boy on stage to tell him his mother has been shot and killed, to see how long it takes for the boy to cry. And I wonder what they think of Married with Children, or The Simple Life with the likes of Paris Hilton. Come to think of it, I wonder if Anna Nicole Smith would ever be sober enough to smash aluminum cans between her breast implants or silicone breasts. Come to think of it, with reality TV and Jerry Springer, maybe I shouldn't complain about Japanese television anymore. From the Los Angeles Times, two gay men during sexual activity decide to push a live hamster into the anal cavity of one of the men. However, after they realized that they couldn't get the hamster out, they tried to figure out what to do. So the man without the hamster inside of him decided to light a match to see if he could see where the hamster was. So a man without hamster was perched underneath man with hamster, and he lit a match right underneath man with hamster's anus. At that time, man with hamster passed wind, and it caused a small streak of fire to jump out and singe the man without hamster's eyebrows and facial hair. However, because there was gas in the anal cavity, the fireball then shot into the man with hamster, circled around the hamster, burning the inside of the man with hamster. Furthermore, the gas change and pressure shot the hamster out of the man with hamster's anus and into man without hamster's face, breaking his nose. California's Dr. John Ronald Brown had his medical license revoked in 1977 and was then in jail for 3 years. Brown later led potential patients to believe that he was a licensed doctor, and people allowed his transgendering surgeries because of his low prices. But John Ronald Brown was not only a doctor for transsexuals, but also for those who got sexual gratification from having an arm or a leg amputated. In one case, a 79-year-old Philip Bondi paid $10,000 to have his leg amputated in Brown's Tijuana clinic. After the surgery, Bondi was taken to a San Diego Holiday Inn for his recovery, but he died in the hotel in less than a day. So John Ronald Brown, at this point age 75, he was charged with murder and practicing medicine without a license. After his arrest, homicide detective Gary Stovall found in Brown's San Ysidro apartment a bloodstained couch and bloody towels soaking in his bathtub, as well as blood trails, medical supplies, and his surgeries on videotapes scattered about the floor. Inside addition, even videotaped him performing a surgery, though you could still hear the patient during the surgery moaning and howling in pain. A Northern California businesswoman witnessed Brown operate on an HIV-positive patient once, and in another case, Brown used too much erectile tissue to construct genital outer lips for a transgender patient, and as a result, whenever the girl got excited, her labia got hard. People went to Brown because he was cheap. Cheap enough to plug silicone injection holes with crazy glue. But because he technically wasn't a doctor, he never asked questions, and you could have the operation you always wanted done. Atlanta-based transgender author Dallas Denny said that transsexuals knew him as Tabletop Brown, because he operated anywhere from kitchens to garages or motel rooms, and some patients would even wake up after a surgery in a parked car. And everyone knew that there was no screening and no aftercare with Brown. Which may explain why no one watched over the ailing Philip Bondi. After his Saturday morning operation, Bondi was happy at first, though he later said he felt Brown sawing on his leg. Brown's office was in Mexico to avoid American law, but right after the operation on Bondi, to hide the evidence, Brown drove 15 miles out into the desert toward Ensenada, throwing Bondi's leg out the window for the coyotes to eat. Bondi was left at the Holiday Inn in San Diego Saturday evening and was found Sunday morning lying half on the bed and half off. The wheelchair was turned upside down. The phone was tipped over. The sheets were pulled out. And blood was oozing from the blackened and gangrenous remnants of his leg. For you see, he was infected with a gaseous gangrene, a fast-moving, flesh-eating bacteria which eventually stopped his heart. So in October, a San Diego jury found Brown guilty of second-degree murder. But people still have their fetishes, and someone will always be there to take advantage of them. Stewart, Florida, was witness to another new account of a woman in medical need. Emergency medical technicians were summoned in August to a home of a grossly overweight woman. But not only were the doorways too narrow for this 4'10", 480-pound woman, but she had not moved from her couch in several years. The fabric had adhered to her skin. They transported her and the couch to the hospital, but she died during their attempts to free her. Our correspondent Warren heard the story about a fat woman who sat naked on a pork chop bone once and didn't notice when it lodged itself amongst her folds of fat. Years later, when she felt a sharp pain and the doctors couldn't figure out what it was, they opened her up and found the pork chop and realized that her skin just eventually grew over it. Another report from Warren. He knew about a guy. He sucked his eyeball out with a shop vac. He went to the hospital and brought the shop vac with him. He was okay, but they couldn't put his eye back in. It was all mangled, and besides, it was covered in potato chips. Our correspondent John reported on September 2nd about an older white woman who, after shopping, saw four black men in her car. Well, deciding to be safe, she owned a gun and took it out of her purse, pointing it at the four men and telling them to get out of the car. The men left, but she soon realized that she was not at her car. So she found her car in the parking lot a few minutes later. Feeling bad for what she had done, she drove to the police station to let them know what happened in the grocery store parking lot. As she told the story to the police officer, he laughed and pointed out the four black men at the station, reporting their carjacking by an old white lady. No charges were filed. It was reported on October 27th that a group of Jehovah's Witnesses lost one of their members. In this small religious group of Jehovah's Witnesses, they chose to test their faith by standing in the middle of traffic. The premise is that God would keep the traffic away from them. One of the members stood on I-55, professing their beliefs to the oncoming traffic, but one motorist wasn't listening or watching. As reported in Los Angeles, California in November, one group of Christians apparently wanted to truly be like Jesus and try to learn how to walk on water. Day by day, these Christians were trying to get closer to God until the leader of this small Los Angeles group, while practicing walking on water in his bathtub, slipped and died in his washroom. Dateline, Pennsylvania, January 23rd. William Bartram was a 25-year-old handyman sent by his employer to a Bethlehem home for a basement renovation. While using a miter saw, a cumbersome circular saw, his concentration faltered, as did his aim, as he sliced off his hand. Losing his hand was so traumatic for him, he decided to shoot himself in his client's basement. William shot himself in the head at least a dozen times with a pneumatic nail gun. This homeowner eventually went downstairs to check on the basement renovation. The basement seemed empty, but their dog discovered William curled up in the corner without a hand and with at least 12 nails coming out of his head. South Africa in April. Now, carjacking is common in South Africa and laws permissive with liberal self-defense, which allows lethal action for danger to personal property. Because carjacking is common in South Africa, security systems for cars have included poison gas, acid showers, flamethrowers, and even automatic gunfire. But one security system used an airbag, but it was located on the car roof. The driver had to disable the airbag before starting the engine, or else the airbag would inflate, hitting the potential driver in the head with enough force to knock them unconscious. That happened to resident thief Peter Newbold, who, pistol in pocket, tried to steal this car. The airbag exploded, but Peter thought that the noise was gunfire shooting at him for trying to steal the car, so he instinctively fired his pistol twice while it was still in his pocket. One bullet hit his knee, the other lodged in the base of his penis. There is no report on if that airbag ever hit him or knocked him unconscious. People with access to either pool tables or handguns should listen carefully to this story. In February, a 26-year-old Russian man tried to enter a bar in Tomolino, which is near Moscow, but he was carrying a concealed gun. A security guard at the front of the bar stopped him, and he seemed to threaten the guard with his gun. But the guard was quick moving, and he kicked the gun out of the man's hands. The gun landed on a pool table after the kick, and the guard asked the players to pass the gun back to him. Now, one of the pool players decided to pick up the gun with his cue stick. What they didn't realize was that by sliding the cue stick through the trigger hole was that the gun would just slide down the cue stick until the cue stick was thick enough to pull the trigger. He picked up the gun with the cue stick and the gun slid closer to him and fired one shot, shooting a 19-year-old in the chest, immediately killing him. After that, the gun owner said he planned to surrender the gun to him because he just wanted to enjoy a drink after all. They say that people who legally own guns more often injure themselves accidentally than use their legal guns to intentionally injure others. A good example of this may be reflected in the news story reported February 11th, where two drunk people were goofing around when one drunk challenged the other to shoot him with cigarette butts, and I quote from the gentleman, to see what it would feel like. The other drunk loaded an antique rifle with cigarette butts, but he also placed black powder behind the butts, you know, to make sure that they actually had the power to actually leave the gun barrel. At 7 feet, one drunk shot the other with cigarette butts, but the nicotine filters penetrated the ribcage of the 31-year-old. The man who made that challenge later died of 3 cigarette butts to the heart. It was reported on March 7th that Colorado police pulled over a man named Gerald because of his erratic driving. Now, Gerald didn't know that he was only being pulled over for erratic driving, and he was sure that they would find out that he stole the car that he was in. So when the police pulled him over, Gerald decided to flee from the stolen car and the police on foot. As the police chased Gerald, he tried to stop them while he was running by pulling out his 9mm semi-automatic handgun and started blindly firing over his shoulders. Now, we don't know if he thought he had eyes in the back of his head, or maybe Gerald can't walk and chew gum at the same time because he couldn't flee and fire at the same time. Now, Gerald didn't hit any of the police officers. Gerald managed to shoot himself in the head with his own gun. 4 shots were fired, although none of them were by the officers. Police later found Gerald's pistol on the ground next to him. Gerald died in the local hospital the next day, a victim of his own gunfire. An attempted knife robbery was reported February 12th, but it was unsuccessful because the 3 knife-wielding robbers decided to hold up a slaughterhouse. There were butchers in the slaughterhouse, and they're very used to effectively using sharp blades on large objects. The butchers stabbed 2 of the 3 robbers to death. The 3rd man escaped and left by car. After the car chase, the 3rd only living thief pulled over and leapt from his car. Now, instead of fleeing into the underbrush where he might have been able to hide himself, he ran into the highway and tried to dodge heavy traffic. Within seconds, the 3rd knife-wielding slaughterhouse robber was run over by a large truck, killing him. A crime spree in February in Washington State was not thought through, as the would-be robber chose H&J Leather and Firearms as his target for money. Now, beyond choosing a gun shop as his target, he chose to strike during opening hours when the shop was full of firearms customers and owners. Lastly, the robber had to step past a marked police car and parked at the front door. Once the robber saw the officer, he announced the holdup and fired a few shots. Let us remind you again that this holdup was taking place at a gun shop, where he walked in and fired shots. So after the would-be robber fired his shots, the officer and a clerk fired back, as did several customers with guns. The robber was killed, but no one else was hurt. terrorism has been growing for years. 1 year before 9/11, Iraqi terrorist Taher Hajet mailed a letter bomb, but didn't use enough postage. His letter bomb came back to him marked "Return to Sender." Taher Hajet opened his letter bomb, blowing himself up in the process. That's our news for the evening, but we'd like to close with an editorial from this reporter. I hear radio talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and I listen to our religious president. I hear these radio talk show hosts praise the life of an unborn child, or try to save Terri Schiavo on life support. I know some even run charities, or try to help natural disaster victims. Kind people, these Republicans. But then I hear that Texas, our president's state, has put 10 times more prisoners to death than any other state since, like, the 70s. And then I hear Republicans protest the Supreme Court's decision that minors shouldn't get the death penalty. When I heard about their love of life, then heard about their hatred of life, I wondered if I was the only one who saw their moral confusion. So when I hear these radio talk show hosts get on their high horses over the radio waves, downplaying anyone's arguments and galloping away on their steed, I'd like to call in to ask them the question. Excuse me. I see that you Republicans seem to revere life so much, from the unborn to those on life support who need our help. So I have to ask, how can you support the death penalty? Why do you revere some life, then decide to exterminate someone who's committed a crime? I've heard you talk about the evils of abortion, but why? When it's wrong to kill a fetus, a life yet to breathe on its own, why is it okay to kill people who have been breathing for years? But hey, Mr. President, when our country's now so far in debt because of your quote-unquote war, maybe we could start to save money by not killing people? I mean, the death penalty doesn't deter, and it costs more taxpayer money when every man on death row gets appeal after appeal while every taxpayer pays all the court costs, the judge costs, and the government-appointed lawyer costs. I mean, hell with the death penalty, we still pay for their food and their keep in prison for years. So if we spend more money killing people than keeping them in prison for life, why don't we learn to be moral and cut financial corners to help out our economy? But I'm sure those talk show hosts would cut me off, discussing the heinousness of prisoners' crimes. But I'd try to ask them, who made them the judge? I've heard death penalty supporters claim that the Bible supports the death penalty, but they don't claim where. I suppose that in the Old Testament, God killed entire towns, flooded the earth. But according to their religion, God is the judge, not them. I've heard these supporters say that they're religious, Christian, like their wonderful president. And then they say that they support an eye for an eye, which is when I wonder why they're referencing the Old Testament. Not that there's anything wrong with the Old Testament, but they're referencing the Old Testament, not their Christian New Testament. They're not listening to Jesus' words when he told them to ignore what his father said, but do as he does, and love one another. Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Killing someone is hardly turning the other cheek. I mean, where is their Christian forgiveness when they sentence people to death? And wait a minute, do these Christian people believe that Jesus would support their death sentences? It makes me think of terrorists who support killing people who don't believe in their God, in their way. We find terrorist behavior abhorrent, as we sit here behind our mighty Constitution, deciding who lives and who dies. But our Christian president likes playing God. The presidency mustn't be enough for him. I guess President Bush is now running this casino, and he just keeps saying to himself, because he has to be right, that the House always wins.